not sure if my information is correct or not, but I think Brother John is actually preaching in New York this morning at Phillips Creek. So. Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I trust that as we again look into the Word of God, have been inspired already this morning, as we thought about the Sunday school lesson, as we thought about the songs we sang this morning, thought the songs were so well fitted. Not that they aren't other times, they are other times as well. I was going to make a comment on the second song, but Reuben did read that third verse there. I'm going to refrain from doing that. Also, we were challenged to allow the Lord to increase our faith this morning through the devotional. And I want to challenge you in the last song that we just sang before, of the songs we sang after Sunday school, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Is all well if the trumpet sounded? The song talked about that. And the Lord descends and we meet the Lord in the air when the rapture takes place. And we're caught up with him in the air. To go with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb, is all well with your soul? 1 Thessalonians talks about that. That's not our message this morning. But I want this message this morning to be an encouragement to you. It has been to me. My mind has been drawn to Psalm 63, and I want you to turn to that. We're going to read that chapter. In Psalms chapter 63 is where we're going to take our message out of this morning. We have here a king who writes about the time when he was supposedly, Psalms 61, 62, and 63 were written during the time when Absalom was in pursuit after his father to take the kingdom from him and even his life. Now, if you want a title for the message this morning, you may entitle it Seeking God. Seeking after God. In your life today, do you seek after God? Or do you try to handle the situations yourself? No matter where you are this morning, God knows what you're facing. Our desire this morning should be after God. Because it is only him that can satisfy, it is only him that can meet our needs, whatever you're facing. I don't know what you're facing. God knows what I'm facing, he knows what you're facing. If you had to pick a word to describe the society today that we're living in, it's a time of a lot of pressure. A lot of stress. David was being pursued by his son Absalom. I believe when these psalms were written. Fleeing for his life. Trying to protect those who were with him. He was a king. God anointed him to be king over Israel. There are other men that we know about in the past who were men of importance. And who had to leave their function. But this was a man who sought after God. And who was endeavoring to do what God had for him to do, but yet was fleeing for his life. He also, you could go back to Samuel and you could see where he fled King Saul. Saul was after him because of envy in his heart. But yet David was anointed because of Saul's failure. He was anointed to be king in Israel. But yet here he was a fleeing man. We live in a day marked with pressure, marked with a lot of stress in life. There are various pressures. Getting a job, performing well. There are family pressures. Building a solid marriage, building a solid home. That is centered around the things of God. We face pressures of life. We face the pressures of making a living. We face the pressures of raising godly children in a pagan society around us. World situation, world problems, economic problems, personal problems. and the problems of relationships. All around us, relationship problems in the world, yeah, in the church, I'm afraid so. There are relationship problems, there are relationships that must be dealt with. In the midst of all of these pressures today, I want to encourage you this morning as we look at David, that we can seek God in all of this. That we will seek the Lord. It is there where David found his strength. And it is there where you and I today in the pressures of life, whether they be financial, whether they be relationship problems. But in the midst of all of this, there is one thing that we will determine. That there is one thing that will determine the course of your life is your priorities. That was mentioned this morning. Everyone has a set of priorities. And I want to challenge you this morning, where are your priorities in life? Because someday this life is going to be over. Whether it be through the call of death, or whether it be this morning through the rapture of the church and we're removed from this old earth to be with the Lord forevermore. If your priorities are not clearly defined this morning, you will be swept downstream when the pressures come. When the pressures of life come, by various pressures, and you will be the seeming victims of circumstances of life. I will be. But if our priorities are clear, if my priorities are clear and yours are clear, then you can respond to your pressures by taking choices, by making choices in line with your priorities, and thereby give direction to your life. Seeking God. It is very crucial this morning, dear friends, that you have right priorities and that I have right priorities in life. Your priorities this morning determine how you spend your time, with whom you spend your time, and how you make decisions. Your priorities keep you from being battered around by the waves of pressure and help you to steer a clear course in life. And will help to steer, make a clear course towards the proper destination. Priorities, godly priorities. Godly priorities are very critical. King David was a man who knew what it meant to live under pressure and come out right. Do you know this morning, and do I know how to live under pressure? Do I depend on God, and am I seeking God this morning for that? To have a son who was seeking his life. Let's go to Psalm 63, and I want to read this chapter this time. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Where no water is, to see thy power, thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My life shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. One interesting thing about this psalm. David makes no ask God for nothing for himself. I believe this is one of the most well-loved psalms that there is. As we think about David fleeing, he expresses in this psalm a very longing for God's presence, praise and joy, fellowship with God, confidence in God's salvation. But yet we see him asking for, we see him of asking nothing for temporal or even spiritual blessings. God has not promised an easy road. And certainly David did not have that to the throne. And God hasn't promised you or I a bed of ease. But he has promised us to be with us. He has promised to walk with us. As we think about seeking after God, should be our most important priority in life. No matter what pressures come into our life, into your life and mine, we will be able to handle them properly if I maintain that one priority above all else is to seek God. Earnestly seek him. Seek him early. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Seek him at a very early time. Seek after God. I want to answer from Psalm 63 this morning three questions about seeking after God. And these three questions are this. What does it mean, number one, to seek after God? Number two, what does the person look like who seeks after God? And number three, how does the person seek after God? First and third question may seem a bit the same, but yet they are not. What does it mean to seek after God? Psalm 63 allows you to peer into the life of David just a bit. As we see him fleeing, but yet seeking after God. To seek after God means to have an intimate, personal relationship with God. In verse 1, you see that. O God, thou art my God. He had a personal relationship with God. It is the only way that we're going to find God in the pressures and the stresses of life, when he is our priority. David knew God in an intimate, personal way. There's a vast difference between knowing about a person and actually knowing that person. Do you know God? He's a very personal God that we serve this morning. But do you know him? You know about God. We have a lot of knowledge from his word, but do you know him? Is he real in your heart? That as you face the pressures and stresses of life, that you are able to receive strength? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Not only Savior, but do you know him as Lord of your life? That's how it must be with God if you want to seek him. There must have been a time when you met him personally in your life and you were converted, but do you know him today? John 17:3, this is eternal life. It is him who is eternal and will give you eternal life. You know, your introduction to God turned when you turned your life over to him. But all right, do you know him today? For some of us, it's been many years ago. For some of us, had more of a dramatic experience when we met the Lord, more than others. But it's important that we know him today. Maybe you can't remember the exact day, but do we know the peace that flooded our heart and soul? He gives you eternal life as a free gift. You must develop your relationship with God. And I trust that your relationship with God today is deeper than when it was when you first met him at the foot of the cross. I trust that that relationship is continuing to grow through the weeks and the months and the years. One year goes into the next. Seeking after God means that you are seeking to develop that intimate relationship with God. With the God whom you have met personally through his Son, Jesus Christ, when you met him at the foot of the cross. Number two, to seek God means always to desire more of him. Again in verse 1, he says, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. We're going to want to desire more. As we read the word of God, we're going to want to read and read every opportunity we have. Is that our spiritual appetite? Or do we find it hard to pick up the Bible and to meditate and to search the scriptures? Do we want more and more? It's like good food, you know, well, we could just eat that again. That's how the Bible ought to be all the time for us. That we want more and more of it. In verse 5, it says, my soul shall be satisfied. But yet he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. And that's how it ought to be in our experience as we look at this scripture. How much do you desire to know God today? Let me tell you something. You won't remain alive spiritually very long without him. Without feeding on his word this morning, you won't remain alive spiritually very long unless you are thinking and reading and meditating on the scriptures. To seek after God means that there is always more, because God is an infinite person. If you figure that you've reached a level of maturity in your Christian life, when you can put it in neutral, you're wrong. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, seeking whom he may devour at your weakest moment of your life. Thirdly, to seek after God means to pursue God alone, to fill that vacuum in your life, to fill that part of your life that needs to continually be filled, because we are leaky vessels. We're on this side of heaven yet. We are leaky vessels. David was there. He was fleeing the throne. He left the throne. He left his wives. He left everything there. And he was running for his life. Left all his possessions behind. He was fleeing for his life. His own son, whom he loved, and was attempting to kill him. Yet all of this, David wasn't seeking for any of those things to fill the selfish things of life. He was praying. David was praying to God, oh God, give me my, he wasn't praying, give me my wives, but God, give me strength. Give me courage, and God will take care of those things. Too many times we zero in on the earthly things of life that we feel are being taken from us. We face the pressures. But may we say, God, work it in according to your will. But he says, I shall seek you. Doesn't ask for any of those things. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. Your love is better than life. And unless we put all of those things behind us, our wives, our children, and put God first, it's not going to work. The Bible tells us that. Now we know we are to love our wives. We are to love our children. Others try to fill their lives with possessions or with successful and satisfying career. Do we seek God in all of this? Does your business life run you? Are you running your business today? Are you seeking God, even in all of that? Thus, seeking after God means to have an intimate personal relationship with him, always to desire more of him, and to pursue God alone to fill your life with the right thing. To fill that vacuum with the right thing. The second question is this, and I don't want to spend as much time on this question as the third question, but what does a person look like who seeks after God? Now, I only want to, as I mentioned, touch this one lightly so that we can concentrate more on the third question. But I want you to see that a person who seeks after God is not some religious mystic, but who is out of touch with reality, because we live in this world and reality is all around us. But putting God in the center of your life gives you a balance and perspective to the crisis of life. And then you are prepared. Then you are prepared to face the crisis in your life, whatever they may be. Then I am prepared. Then we are prepared. But I want you to notice briefly four things which characterize a person who seeks after God. As we face the pressures of life, all of us, I know, if you're a normal person, I don't know what you're facing, but we are facing pressures in life, and they're all around us. But he is a person, number one, the person who seeks after God has an inner satisfaction within. He is never complacent, but satisfied. We find satisfaction in God. We're not complacent or indifferent. David's soul was at rest. Even in the middle of a calamity such as this, with a son who is pursuing in hot pursuit after you, to take the throne, to take your life. Which would push many to fall apart emotionally. Brothers and sisters, today there are pressures that would cause us to fall apart emotionally had we not had God. How would we face some of the things we face today without God? David had inner peace and a calm through all of this. He found his satisfaction very deeply in God. The person, number two, who seeks after God has an inner joy. You look at verse 5, 7, and 11. My soul shall be satisfied. And then in the last part of the verse, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. In verse 7, we also find, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And then in verse 11, the last verse, but the king shall rejoice in God. Rejoice. Under the pressures of life, if we are seeking after God, we will find an inner peace and an inner joy that is going to overflow, is going to shine forth in our life. My mouth offers praise. How many times in the midst of all the pressures and stresses of life, that kind of joy is not dimmed by the circumstances of our life. Can we rejoice even in the things that are not very pleasant in the midst of all of that because we are seeking God? It's the only way we'll be able to do that. Thirdly, the person who seeks after God has inner stability and strength. We see that in verses 7 and 8 in that chapter. My soul followeth hard in verse 8 after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. We find stability. We find strength. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We find real stability in life if we are seeking God. In the midst of the storms of life, do you find that kind of stability? The person who seeks after God has inner perspective and balance in things of life. Again, you can look at verses 9 through 11 to find that David found that. He says, they seek my life to destroy it. David wasn't consumed with the thoughts of getting even. Too many times, because of our circumstances in life, we are consumed with the thoughts of getting even. Or something happens to them and you got what you deserved. If that is your attitude, you're not seeking God. Whether you've been wronged or not. His thoughts were not, well, I hope somehow I get even with my son. No. I don't care who it is in the church. You feel you're mistreated. In all the pressures of life, David's thoughts were not on getting even. He knew his calling and that God would not fail him to accomplish all that concerned him. The point is, the person who seeks after God will be a person of strength and stability, a person with inner resources to meet every crisis in life. Now for the crucial question. In the last part of this message, how does a person seek after God? There are a lot of pressures and stresses in life that we face. How does a person seek after God? Now, I'm assuming this morning that I'm talking to people who already know God personally through Christ. As we already mentioned before in this message, you begin with a relationship with God when you realize that you have sinned against the Holy God, and when you flee for refuge to the provision God has made for your sin. The cross of Christ, no one seeks for God unless God first seeks for them. It's God's will that all would be saved, and he is seeking for all to come in while there's yet opportunity. Today is yet the extension of God's mercy that all might be saved. And I trust that we are vessels in which God can use. And we could turn to a couple scriptures there. I had them down here, but I'm going to omit from doing that. First of all, you seek God by putting love for God at the center of your relationship with him. Do you have a love for God this morning? If you have a love for God, then you are seeking him. God's loving kindness in verse 3, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Is that your experience this morning? Is that my experience? That we find it that way? His loving kindness is better than life. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me in verse 8. What a beautiful balance that we see in David's life here. He clings to God, but underneath it all, God's powerful hand is under David. Is his powerful hand under you today? Are you seeking God? Are you letting God out of the picture? Your relationship with the Lord is comparable to a marriage relationship. Marriage is a relationship with where intense feelings of a lifelong passion and commitment to each other are intertwined. But a marriage cannot build on feelings alone, but on commitment. The commitment carries you through the hard times of married life. When things are not pleasant, a love that is deep will take you together through the hard times of life. Seeking after God means keeping your passion for God alive. Keeping your passion for God alive. Christianity is not just a matter of the head, but of the heart. As you think on what God has done for you in Christ, it ought to move you emotionally to think about what God has done for you in Christ. As you reflect on his great love and his faithfulness in the past of your life toward you over the years, in spite of your failures. David wasn't a perfect man. We know that some of the things that David done. But it was his response to what he'd done. He was repentant. Yes, he took a man's wife. He killed the man in battle. Not personally himself. But yes, he did. He was responsible. But yet, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Do you want to be a person after God's own heart today? Seek after God. You certainly ought to cause you to feel love for God and the things of God. You know, in your marriage, keeping your passion alive means not saying no to some things in order to say yes to your wife. Are you willing to say no to some things to say yes to God? I'm willing. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to whatever it may be. Being instant in season and out of season is not just for preachers and bishops. It's for all of you, because the calls don't come at convenient times. You know, your job, those kinds of things are all important. Your friends, even your church involvement, these are all good things in their place. What do we allow to come between us and God? to keep us from the things that God is calling you to do. Secondly, you seek God by spending consistent time alone with Him. David was under intense pressure as he fled from Absalom. And there's other experiences in David's life that we could think about, where circumstances were even far worse than what many of us face today. He had to think about how all of his loyal followers who fled with him were going to get food and water, and he had to think about them. How many times do we come under the pressures of life and we only think about our own needs? He had to be thinking constantly and seeking God continually about their safety. Yet he did not neglect earnestly seeking God in this trying situation of his life. He says, "I shall seek you earnestly." In the trying times of your life this morning, again, God knows what you're facing. I encourage you to seek God earnestly. If you love God, you will make time to spend with Him because you delight to do so. This includes time in His Word. This includes renewing your mind so that you can please Him. Do you live to please God today? Or are you living to please yourself? Renewing your mind so that you can please Him. It includes time in prayer, bringing your needs and others' needs before Him. It includes time to praise Him. David was praising God, worshiping Him, expressing your love for Him and others. Serving God this morning is serving others. Thirdly, you seek God by integrating Him into every area of your life. Nothing reserved, but every area of your life. You know, God isn't just that spoke in the wheel. I trust He's not in your wheel. But He is the hub of that wheel of your life. He isn't just a slice of life who rounds out your other pursuits. But no, He is the hub of that wheel. He is the center of your life. This morning, God needs to be the center of our life if we're going to make it. Wherever we find ourselves, God has a purpose for you. He needs to be at the center of every decision you make. He is the Lord of. He needs to be the Lord of every relationship you have. You manage your money by considering what His Word says about it. There is no area of your life, be it your business, your family, your education, or whatever it may be, where God is not where God is an integral part of all of that. Needs to be, must be, if we're earnestly seeking God. In our life, may I say, there is no division between sacred and secular parts of our life. God needs to be a part of every area of our life, and that includes our business life. If we think this morning that we can separate any of those parts from God, we're wrong. Here's David. His kingdom is in a disarray, running for his life, seeking to protect his men. May we this morning grasp a hold of some of the truths that are in this chapter. But I want to close with this question. How is it with you this morning? How is it with you and God? Maybe you say, "Well, I'm actively involved. I'm doing a lot of things in church life." That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you a very personal question. How is it with you and God this morning? I want you just to think back through your past week, through your past month. and over the years, and ask yourself, did my schedule reflect that I was seeking God? You know, finally, people know us by name, but we are who we truly really are when we come under the pressures of life. Pressure is what reveals what your priorities really are. Yes, it does. It reveals who you really are. When the pressure is on, everything but the essential gets set aside. And the Holy Spirit is telling us through David's experience here, seek God. It's so essential in our life if we're going to face the pressures of life. I'm going to leave you with four questions that you can think about. How can we make time alone with God a priority and yet avoid a legalistic approach to life? Number two, how can a Christian who has lost the passion for God regain it? If you feel that you're kind of coasting along in your spiritual life, I want to encourage you to regain it. How does a person who lacks self-discipline go about getting it? It's important. We need discipline in our life, whether it be in the normal things of life and in the spiritual things of life. We need to be a disciplined people. Number four, what is the difference between having God as a slice of life versus having God permeate every part of life? How does one go out making the change? If God is not the hub of your wheel this morning, I trust that after today, He will be. Don't just let Him be one of those little spokes. He wants to be the hub of your wheel. May you give God that rightful place in your life. I trust this message has been a challenge to you this morning as we endeavor to seek God earnestly. Shall we pray? Dear God and Father, I come before you this morning with a heart of humility, realizing that there were times in my life that I did not earnestly seek you like I should have. But I pray, dear God, I thank you for your word and these things that are written for us. And Lord, I pray that if there should be any here this morning who is not earnestly seeking you, that they would find that real in their life and experience. For you have a purpose for everyone here. Bless each father with wisdom as they endeavor to give direction to their children, to guide them in the ways of truth. I just pray, God, may your name be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.